Paul's spirit was stirred in him. I want you to see why. Number one, when he saw the city. Now, I don't believe, church, I didn't look this up in the Greek, but I think it was already said this week, you can define the Bible with the Bible, amen? And you don't necessarily have to have the Greek to know your Bible, amen? So when he says, when he saw the city, I don't think he saw the buildings. I don't think he saw the fancy, the beauties of the city. I think he saw the people. When he saw the city, his spirit was stirred in him. Church, when was the last time our spirit was stirred in us when we saw people? When was the last time? We see people day in and day out, do we not?
Yes.
We see people every day of our lives. Whether it's at the workplace, whether it's at Walmart, whether it's at a gas station, we see people day in and day out. When was the last time our spirit was stirred in us because we saw them? Oftentimes I think we don't see people clearly. We don't see people as never-dying souls that's going to spend eternity in a hell.
Right. Yes, sir.
God didn't just make us eternal. Amen? God made everyone eternal. When God breathed in the nostrils the breath of life, you realize everything God does is eternal.
Right.
Souls are eternal. I believe God authored this book, and this book's eternal.
Amen.
No matter what people say about the King James Version, I believe it's eternal. Amen?
Amen.
Inspired, preserved, amen.
Yeah.
He saw the city, his spirit was stirred. I don't think we see people clearly. Let me help you open your eyes a little bit. I'm a missionary, I like stats, amen. Country of 328 million people, 52.5% are Protestant, 23.6% is Catholic, 15% are atheist or agnostic, with less than 1% of the population as Muslim, and is still considered the fastest growing religion. 43% of the population is considered unchurched. That's 141 million people. By the way, that's U.S.
Yeah.
Do you realize 141 million people in the U.S. are considered unchurched? Do you realize the entire country of Russia has 145 million people in it? Which one's the mission field?
Yes, sir.
Think about that.
Very true. That's so good for you.
When was the last time we saw the city?
Yes.
Man, and we were stirred up.
Amen, preacher.
Stirs.
When was the last time we prayed over the harvest? Let me give you a thought tonight. Let me give you a homework assignment tonight. All right? I was homeschooled, so, you know, I had homework all the time. Amen? I want you to go home tonight after this meeting, and I want you to take a paper and write down how many countries you know of. Without Googling, don't use the internet, just your brains. Write down how many countries you know of. There's 195 countries in the world. My wife and I did it. We listed 80. Are we really praying for the harvest? Why is it that you've heard messages preached, hey, we've got to have specific prayer requests. God likes specific prayer requests. You know, we need to pray specifically over things, and I'm all for that. But why is it when it comes to Jesus Christ's prayer requests for praying over the harvest, we throw a blanket statement over it and say, Lord, please send laborers into your harvest? Is that not right? All right, I'll move on. It's real quiet. Amen. A loaded wagon makes no noise. Amen. That's what I was taught in Bible college. He saw the city. Not only did he see the city, he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. We live in a country today that's wholly given to idolatry, do we not? I can't say that I blame them, though, because they don't know any better, right? They're doing what's right in their own eyes. The problem is, I think we've got many Christians who are wholly given to idolatry. We might not bow down to an idol, but we have no problem serving this right here. You ever heard it called the Almighty Dollar? I struggle, because there's only one that's almighty. Don't think it's trying to replace something. We have a bunch of Christians that are tied up serving money because we're so far in debt. You know why we struggle at missions conferences? You know, it's not the answer to get missionaries on the field faster is not supporting less at a smaller amount, and it's not even supporting or less at a bigger amount, or not supporting more at a smaller amount. Follow? It's not the answer. The answer is just God's people needs to give more. But we can't because we're so tied up living the American dream that you mentioned about. Do you realize the average household debt in the U.S. is $145,000? Credit card debt is over $8,000, which I thought that was a little low, but that's what I came up with. Auto loan is $18,000. Who knows how much debt? I mean, we pay for phones. How nuts is that?
Think about it.
We're so far in debt, we can't give.
Yes, yes.
We can't give to what God values because we value things over God.
Tell it, preacher.
You know, Judas put value on Christ, and his value is 30 pieces of silver. I wonder what value we put on Christ.
Goodness,
might not be 30 pieces of silver. But it might be a ball game.
Come on.
It might be an extra hour of sleep. Man, I can't get up early enough to get in my word, get in God's word. I wonder what we value over Christ. I wonder if it's this thing right here.
Come on.
Listen.
His spirit was stirred within him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. His spirit was stirred within him when he saw the ignorance in their worship. Look at verse number 23. Verse number 22, let's back up. He said, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions,'" let me stop right there. I wonder what people view us and behold our devotions. Because people can see what we're devoted to. Just a little thought there. "I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" Man, when was the last time we got stirred up because we saw ignorance in their worship? You just saw a video of ignorant worship. They're trusting in that for salvation, and that is doing nothing for them. That's going to take them straight to hell. Does that not stir us up? Does it not say, hey, we've got to do something for them? We've got to give them the truth. It's a false hope they're trusting in. Does it not stir you up when you saw the video of the stall cups and all those Muslims, men, thousands on that street, bowing down to Allah, a false god? Does it not stir us up, men? That's ignorance in their worship. We've got to give them the truth. We've got to get them there. Man, it stirred them up because you saw the ignorance in their worship. He was stirred up. Look at verse number 31, and I'll be pretty close to done. Amen. Verse 31, because judgment was coming. "Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead." The Apostle Paul was stirred up because he saw the city. Man, and they were wholly given to idolatry. He realized the ignorance in their worship, and he thought, judgment's coming. I got to do something. Church, judgment's coming for a lost and dying world. And it's probably sooner rather than later. If we don't do anything, who's going to? Judgment's not just coming for the lost. Judgment's coming for the saved.
Think about that.
We might not be damned for hell, but we will give an account. Remember the parable of the talents? One man gave five, he got five. One got two, the other got one. Maybe that one started looking at, man, he's got five. He can play the piano and the guitar and sing. Man, the other, he's got two. Man, he can preach. What do I got? Just got this one talent. Too many Christians are looking at what everyone else has. Instead of realizing, hey, I got my one talent. I can either bury it or I can do something with it. Because I'm going to give an account for this talent that I have and not for the five that he has or not for the two that he has. I've got to give the account for mine. When was it last time we were stirred up to do something for God? He was stirred up. Paul was stirred. Because he was stirred, he made a decision. Put action behind the decision that affected the way he lived. Let me prove it to you. Verse number 16 and 17. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore, because of this, disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. Is that not a decision? Hey, I'm going to do something about it.
Right.
I'm going to dispute with them, with the devout persons, and tell them what's wrong with this. He made a decision because he was stirred. Oftentimes, though, I think we've got churches all across America with Christians that get stirred but not changed.
Yes, you're right.
We're stirred up. Have we not been stirred up this week? Man, it's been a great week, but what decisions have you made this week? Is that not the point of our preaching? Is that not why we get up and preach God's message to God's people so that there can be a change about in our life? So that we can be the better for Christ? If we don't make decisions after our stirring, then what's the point of us being here? Let me give you a little bit of an illustration. When I got to know my wife, when I got to know her, there was a stirring about in my heart. Right? Amen?
Yeah.
That was a love. Amen. Because of that stirring, I made a decision. Man, I want to marry that girl.
Yeah.
And you know, that decision has changed my life.
Sure.
For the good. Amen.
Amen. Good.
Salvation. Man, there was a stirring about, at least there better have been. Amen. No conviction, no conversion. Amen. There was a stirring about my heart. I knew, hey, if I don't get this settled, I'm going to die and I'm going to go to hell. Made a decision that has affected the way that I live for the rest of my life. And it should do the same for you. Amen. So why is that where it stops? We mean we're stirred, but we're not changed. We're stirred up, but we never make a decision. Or maybe we do make a decision, but on Monday morning, or the next day, I guess it's Thursday, on Friday morning, we go about our week and we forget all about it. Next week, are you going to remember what happened in this conference? 2 weeks from now, are you going to remember the decisions that you've made in this conference? You going to keep living those out? Man, we're stirred, but we're not changed. We need to be Christians that are stirred and changed. Make decisions behind what God's... Stirring is the work of the Spirit. Decisions, that's on us. And we got to put action behind it. Don't be a Christian that's stirred, but not changed. Amen. Preacher.